This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I love Active Skin Repair. So I've got the boy who is a lifeguard, loves being outside, but is pretty pale. And even though I'm on his case about the sunscreen, he gets sunburns. Active Skin Repair is super helpful when that happens. My husband is a total worker guy, tinker around in the shop, getting cuts and scrapes all the time. We literally use this Active Skin Repair, I mean, just all the time. It's always in use at our house. And it's not just for cuts and scrapes and burns. It also can be used for rashes and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, making it suitable for use on all skin types, all parts of the body, even on rosacea, eczema, and acne-prone skin. Seriously, all the things. I'm stoked about this sponsor. You can go to www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code JOYFUL. So again, go to www.activeskinrepair.com and use the code JOYFUL for 20% off your order. Hey, welcome to the Joyful Courage Podcast, a place for inspiration and transformation as we try and keep it together while parenting our tweens and teens. This is real work, people. And when we can focus on our own growth and nurturing the connection with our kids, we can move through the turbulence in a way that allows for relationships to remain intact. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am your fearless host. I'm a positive discipline trainer, space holder, coach, and the adolescent lead at Sproutable. I am also the mama to a 20-year-old daughter and 17-year-old son walking right beside you on this path of raising our kids with positive discipline and conscious parenting. This show is meant to be a resource to you, and I work really hard to keep it real, transparent, and authentic so that you feel seen and supported. Today is an interview, and I have no doubt that what you hear will be useful to you. Please don't forget, sharing truly is caring. If you love today's show, please pass the link around, snap a screenshot, post it on your socials, or text it to your friends. Together, we can make an even bigger impact on families all around the globe. I'm so glad that you're here. Enjoy the show. Hi, listeners. My guest today is Nancy Albright. I'm so excited to introduce her to you. Nancy is a mom, a parent educator, coach, author, and TEDx speaker who has been offering families workshops and support since 2013. She is passionate about helping ease parents' frustration through creative ways and thought-provoking questions that create connected and loving relationships with their teens. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Yes, I know. I'm so happy that you're here. Listeners, Nancy and I go way, 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 way back.
2009.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. How did we first meet? What was it?
So I was searching, I think, like online or something about parenting because my daughter, Sadie, was 6 months old.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, 2009. And I found your workshop and I was like, this woman sounds amazing. I really want to be the best mom I can be because I lost my mom at 16. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I want to do it right. You know, I want to learn all the things. So I took your class. My now ex-husband and I took your class.
Was it in a church? Was it a workshop?
Yeah, I remember it's like a group.
It was in a church basement, right?
I think so.
In Monroe? Oh my gosh.
I think so.
I'm having a flashback now. I remember a lot of wood. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So now my baby Sadie is almost 14.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
And it's thanks to you though. So I'm so grateful for you and how you share your message and shine that light.
Well, I'm so thankful for you because 2009, I was only 2 years into my own journey of parenting and facilitating positive discipline.
Yeah.
And I kind of cringe a little bit to imagine my facilitation way back in the early days.
It was amazing.
Thanks for hanging in there with me, Nancy. Thanks for that.
It was amazing. Like, when you don't know what you don't know, someone else who comes in with knowledge, it's just like, wow.
Right. Good. Yay. Well, I'm glad that that was your experience. So we worked together. You know, we were both in the same town and would run into each other. I feel like you maybe jumped into other workshops of mine along the way. But talk about your personal journey of then not only being a student of positive discipline, but really going for it and folding it into what you were doing in the world.
Yeah. So like I said, I lost my mom when I was 16. And I know that's like a later age, but I wanted to be the best mom I could be because I didn't have mine. That was like my draw. So when I had Sadie and I took your course, I was like, how can I learn this so that I can teach other parents to be great parents, to understand how their kid is developing? And so I don't know if I told you this, I took a Jody,
McVitie,
who is now in this incredible source. Mm-hmm. I took her parent educator course for 3 days over a weekend in downtown Seattle.
She was my trainer too.
Oh, okay. Maybe you like recommended her. I probably did. I know it seems like a lifetime ago. So I took her course and then I just started, you know, hosting workshops for parents. I started coaching parents with the littles because I had like, I feel like I've coached as I go with mine, you know, who's now a teenager, but it was just to help other parents really understand the frustrations of their little ones or their middle schoolers or their elementary schoolers, you know. And it allowed me to really live that message for my own daughter, right? Because when you're teaching it, you can't, like, you got to practice what you preach.
Yes.
So it really helped me do that. And I'm continuing to do that. Like, I read the books just for me. You know, your workshop was for me. Like, I was like, I want to do it for me, but then I was hooked. So,
yeah. Well, and I love that going back to what you said about how facilitating teaching strengthens our own personal practice. I remember, well, I was the parent educator for a co-op preschool years ago as Rowan was moving into high school and things started getting really hard and messy. And I was in my like, oh my God. And like showing up in front of these parents of toddlers and preschoolers and working really hard not to come across as like, you have no problems. Like, what are you even complaining about? Your kid won't eat. They don't like anything that's not pasta or bread. Who cares? I've got real issues. Oh, man. But keeping it together, you know, keeping it together.
Yeah.
And yeah, showing up for the parents that I work with now and loving that, you know, we'll focus on things like our personal self-regulation and self-care and showing up with curiosity and then immediately getting off my calls, walking into the room and having an opportunity to do exactly what we were just talking about with my own family. It's so powerful. And sometimes I'm sure that you have this too. Like, and sometimes I really mess up and I get to bring that. I think we get to bring that to the people we serve too. And I don't know about you, but, and I'm grateful to my family. I've said this a million times that they let me share because I think there's something really attractive to working with someone who is willing to talk about, I got really controlling. I messed up. I yelled or I XYZ because ultimately it's a human experience, isn't it?
I really believe that when we're vulnerable with our children, because we aren't perfect. Like, you know, I like to say that I've never parented this teen or this toddler or this whatever the age they are, this moment, this child. So it's brand new, right? And so being vulnerable with your kids, I have found even with children like that I work with, it's they get vulnerable with me and they feel that trust, right? The power of vulnerability.
It's an opening.
So it's so huge to be able to say, hey, I made a mistake. Look, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. Please forgive me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And holding space for parents to share their own vulnerability around like, oof, this was a tough one, right? Being able to hold a space that feels safe for parents to be really honest about what's hard as well is such a, I love it. It's such a gift.
Yeah, I know.
You wrote a book.
Yes.
Yes. You wrote a book. You wrote a book. So talk about this book that you've created. What inspired you to write it? Tell us about the book.
Yeah. So it's called My Teen and Me. And what inspired me to write it was, you know, as working with kids all of these years, you know, I want parents to be able to have really beautiful relationships with their kids. And so I felt that, you know, what you taught me, what I've learned from books, what I've learned from workshops, everything I've learned from different people on positive psychology, like all these years into 20 questions that parents can ask their kids to kind of be vulnerable and kind of diffuse some of these really tough topics. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I signed up for this book course, you know, and I was like, okay, I didn't know what I was going to write about. And I was like, okay, send me something that, right. you know, I can talk about that I'm really passionate about. And I was like, teens, you know, I talked to Sadie about it, like what questions, I talked to parents, I talked to different teenagers. So it's more like prompts mm-hmm. that really helps parents, I feel like, also look at their journey as teenagers.
Yeah. Well, and I love the way that your book is laid out because it's like a workbook. It's so practical, you know, and while there are many books on my shelf that I have read some of slash most of slash a little bit of, right? It's so nice to pick something up that is immediate practice. It's immediate practice, you know, and really focuses in on my favorite tool in the positive discipline toolbox, which is curiosity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, your prompts, your 20 questions. So listeners, Nancy has really designed these questions to get below the surface of the iceberg, right? I talk a lot about the iceberg on the podcast, and we talk about, you know, I say the top of the iceberg is like this blinking neon sign, like, pay attention to me. And it's so hard to remember, like, that's not actually where to go. That's an indicator to go deeper and to find out what's happening with our kiddos, what dropping our assumptions and really finding out what's happening under the surface. And these prompts and these questions that you ask throughout the book are such powerful starting points for people, because you're really supporting and scaffolding that tool of curiosity. I think when we look at the world through curiosity, so much becomes available to us. Like I said, dropping our assumptions and getting curious about how our kids feel. And it's such a relationship builder. So talk a little bit about the tool of curiosity for you and really your process of digging deep with these questions.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that you asked this because I love curiosity, because when you're curious, if you're really curious, instead of, you know, how we get, how moms, we get like, well, did you blah, blah, blah. That's not curiosity.
What did you think was going to happen?
That is not curiosity, right? It's all about the tone. I feel like curiosity also has to come with this loving tone, right?
Right.
So curiosity allows you to be really present and listen to your child. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know I do it. I nag. Sometimes I tell. I'm like, do you remember this? Like, that's not curiosity. And we know this through positive discipline is, well, can you tell me more about that?
That's
right?
My favorite. Yes.
I know. Like, and it opens a conversation. And if they don't want to talk, that's fine. Well, you can, I would love to talk about it later. Right. But curiosity, even not just in a relationship with teenagers, but your partner, with friends, like you come from a place of almost love instead of like wanting to change something or a situation. It just gives you that present moment to learn more about your child, to see what you said, the iceberg, what's going on underneath, you know?
Right.
And even if they're not ready, they know that you asked that. So at some point, they're going to be like, well, my mom asked this. Like, let me think about talking to her or him or her, your dad, you know, whoever your caretaker is.
Hey, friends. As a podcast listener myself, I always get so excited to share when I find a new show that I think is super useful. So today I want to tell you about Understood Explains. This is a podcast that tackles one important topic per season. And this season is all about navigating individualized education plans and is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube. Getting the support our kids need in school can feel tricky, and we aren't always sure what it is that they need. When I listened to the episode titled, Does My Child Need an IEP? It offered up so much useful information that I could really see supporting parents who are in this consideration. The host is so knowledgeable and really breaks down the content in a way that helps listener go from completely overwhelmed to actually starting to feel empowered. Other episodes in the series highlight the difference between IEPs and 504 plans, as well as a whole episode that busts common myths about special education. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Understood Explains. So check it out. You won't be sorry.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
I love that it's so, we don't realize that we have an agenda all the time. Yeah. Sometimes we are just like, I ask questions and they don't want to talk to me. It's like, well, yeah. It's deeper. And I like that you said bringing that love and listening. I also think about like bringing our authentic self, being mm-hmm. willing to say, I don't understand, or I'm scared, or, you know, help me see what your experience is. And really going after it as a way of building relationship. Yes. Also, I think we have this really unique opportunity to help our kids connect the dots, right? Because they might be engaging in behavior that we don't love, or that, you know, the tip of the iceberg is like, alert, alert. Yeah. And we get to ask questions that ultimately we hope over time become questions that they're asking themselves. Like, how could the fallout of this be? And am I okay with that? Right? Or what are the risks here? Or how do I feel? Or what is getting in my way? Right? And I love that when we parents, and it is work, it's not just, you know, yeah. I mean, I'll speak, I think for both of us, right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, like you already said, it's tone, but it's also like really getting clear on our why. Like, why am I asking this question? Mm-hmm. What am I hoping for here? And if I'm hoping that they get to my way of thinking, then it's like, okay, let's start again. Because that's ultimately a leading question. And they can sniff us out. And I know Sadie's nearly 14.
Yeah, oh, she calls me out all the time.
And as she gets older, it gets even harder, because they are like, listen, I've got your number. And not just like, I've got your number, but like, I know who you are. Yeah. And it's obvious when you're looking for an answer. You know, it's obvious when you are looking, you know, and I say that to my son, especially because I think we have a dynamic where I have to be like, listen, this isn't about what I want to hear. This mm-hmm. is really about exploring what's going on for you. Like, I have to be explicit around that.
Yeah.
To give him permission to let go of his mama pleasing
tendency, yeah. which yeah. whatever we can, that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah. So yeah. there is that work too, and really pulling back our own layers, right? Of our fear and our worries. Your book is organized by different topics, right? So talk about yeah. how you chose where to get curious with our kids in your book.
I have my book here. So for each chapter or each topic, right? I chose topics that were really near and dear to my heart, like losing someone you love or mm-hmm. like eating disorders, which is something that I dealt with for a really long time. What it does is it asks the question and then it gives you kind of a prompt, but then I kind of share something like to think about, mm-hmm. like with your child. So getting curious, you know, for example, like getting your help and support, right? It's like, do you need me to listen? Do you need suggestions or do you need my help? And then I go into this question gives us superpowers, right? Because you're not just assuming they need help. You know, sometimes yes. my daughter's like, I'm like, oh, let me help you with your homework or whatever. You know, I'm just assuming. She's like, Mom, I got it. She's like, you're not even that great at math.
By the way.
Yeah.
Let me humble you.
I know. You know, she's like, I got it. I can figure it out. So I kind of give after asking the question. It's not just the question, but it's yeah. kind of giving you a guide as to why this question is so important. And then giving you a writing prompt like this one. It's, how would you feel if your partner or your teen or your friends asked you this question, mm-hmm. right? When they saw you struggling, instead of jumping in to help you, what would you appreciate? Hey, do you need my help? Do you just want me to listen? Do you need my support, right? And you're like, oh, okay. And mm-hmm. my partner's done that with me, you know, and I've done that with Sadie. Not always, you know, I'm a mom and I still try to jump in and rescue because that's what we do. But it's really helpful. And so the yeah. whole book is laid out. It has 20 different topics, you know, two questions to a topic. And then I go into explaining why it's important or what you can do. Mm-hmm. I give you resources, you know, like you're one of the resources, you know, all these people who can go to someone else for help. Because this isn't like your answers to every question you've ever had, right?
Right.
It's just this, like, it's a catalyst to yeah. starting to ask those questions, those hard questions too.
Well, and what it really highlights is how powerful it becomes when we can explore and tease apart curiosity and language before we show up in front of our kids, right? Because yeah. I think there's a tendency, you know, I feel it. I'm getting ever better in my practice at pausing. Hold on. Is this the time, right? Pausing. Yeah. And really thinking through what I want to say and what I want to understand better and what my internal experience and my emotional experience is of, you know, the topic or the conversation so that we can show up in a really regulated way. Yeah. And I love that you include the superpower question because I talk about that on the pod too.
Yeah.
And with my clients, and Rowan has been my guide in this. Like, do you need me to listen? Do you want my opinion? Do you want to problem solve? What do you need right now? And sometimes I get like big eye rolls, you know, and that's fine. I get to do my own work of not being like, what? I'm just trying to know how you need me to help
just
you.
Trying to help.
You know? God. I get to check myself, but it is really useful and so deeply respectful too, I think, for our teens to get to become clearer on what it is that they need from us, right? Yeah. What is it that they need from us? So I love that question. I think it's so, so powerful. And sometimes I will say, well, let me tell you what I think. And then I'll pause and say, oh, sorry, hold up. What do you need? So listeners, like if you're thinking like, oh God, I always jump in with suggestions, like, it's okay. Just go back and pause and be aware and grow in your awareness and, you know, ask them what it is that they need. And if you just can't stand it and you have to let your feelings out, grab a piece of paper, grab Nancy's book, write it out, you know, because sometimes there is that need to release. That's your need versus your teen's need, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to just say something like really encouraging parents because, you know, habits it take like, what is it, 24 to 64 days to break, right? So if you're in the habit of constantly jumping in, right, it's just bring that presentness into that moment and just be aware that you're doing that. I think for parents who like, or that you react, you know, you're instead of responding, you're reacting. It's like, you don't have to have it all figured out right now. You can just be like, okay, I'm aware that I'm doing this, and bring that, again, present moment to how you're reacting to your child, and just make it a daily practice. And before you know it, you're going to be like, okay, pause. You know, and then you're not going to be perfect always. I mean, we get triggered. Our kids trigger us.
It only takes 68 days, everyone, to stop being a total fixer of your children. Like, well, maybe not. You know, I think if we can be in acceptance of this is a lifelong journey, and as soon as you feel like, oh, I've got this, there'll be something new, a new person, a new developmental stage, a new challenge relationally that will invite you into even deeper practice of that. I have a good friend who said, you know, I wish it was linear, but it's not. It's like a spiral, right? And we keep bumping up against, when we start to become aware and really dive into the work, it's like, okay, I've got this now. I've learned that thing. And then we move around the spiral and it's like, oh, here's that thing in a different package, in a different light. But again, inviting me into, and for me, it's always like inviting me into surrender, inviting me into letting go, inviting me into recognizing that while I have great ideas, everybody else seems to as well. And they get to decide, right? God, that life lesson kills me. But what kind of advice do you have for the parents that you work with who are in a dynamic with their kids that when they, you know, work through the curiosity and work through the prompts, and then approach their kids, they're met with, you know, irritation or withdrawal or a shutout. How do you support parents in navigating that?
So I'm just going to read some thoughts that I have here. So again, going back to like, as parents, like really tapping into yourself and showing yourself that compassion and that grace and that love that you've never parented. You might have parented other teenage kids, but not this one, right? They're all different. And although I only have one, each one's different. And so it's giving yourself, you know, that grace, first of all. And then I think with the positive discipline, what I love about it is, you know what, I love you and I'm here when you want to talk. And don't give up. Like, keep saying it to your kid, because eventually they're going to know and they're going to realize, you know what, my mom, my dad, my caretaker really does love me. I'm going to open up to them, you know, and it's just about the daily practices that we do with our kids. Like, you know, with Sadie, I'm like, is there anything you need help with today? Or is there any way I can support you? You know, she's like, no, but just knowing that I can be there for her, I think is like, okay. And sometimes she does. She's like, mom, like, I want to talk about this friend who's being whatever, you know, so compassion. You know, I love you and I'm here if you want to talk. And then just be present. There's nothing you can do. You can't force them to eat, to talk, to poop. Like, I remember that's what something when Sadie was little, I was like, I have no control of these things. You know, and you still don't. And so it's just allowing that space for your kids over and over and over and over every single day.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck. And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Get out of there, life gunk. Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January. Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And when it's coming up for me as I listen too, as we get hooked into how things should look, we get hooked into specific timelines. I know, again, Rowan, my teacher, you know, when we would have a blowout and mm-hmm. I was ready to make things right and she wasn't, I remember how hard that was for me. What I know now looking back, you know, and we use that language like, hey, I want to make things right. And she would look at me and say, well, I'm not ready. And I remember feeling like, you are weaponizing this tool. Like, now looking back, the hurt that she was feeling was lingering, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was an iceberg place. That was a place to get curious around what is going on for her that it's so hard for her to let this go. Where can I be better? In the moment, when I think back to that time, like middle school, early high school years, it was just irritating to me. It was mm-hmm. like, why are you hanging on to this? You know, yeah. And then it became like a power struggle around making amends, which is so messy, right? Whatever, that was a missed opportunity. We figured it out. We're great now. But, you know, I think that it's so nuanced, right? And I love that the first thing you said for this was grace for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to sit in the outward looking towards what's wrong with my kids that they don't want to be in conversation, right? And to hold our kids a certain way versus, okay, what's going on with me, right? Yeah. Where is possibly there something for me to clean up or own or take responsibility of? Because again, it's a dynamic. It's a relational dynamic. And one, it's developmentally appropriate for our kids to pull away when they're teenagers. So mm-hmm. there's that. There's also, you know, the fact that, again, our kids have our number, meaning they've been dealing with us since day one. So if the space, even as we say, I'm here for you, I'm ready to talk when you are, and if the space has been a place for me to actually let my kid know why they're wrong or, you know, critical or judgmental, then of course their self-preservation is going to say, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to be vulnerable with you. I know what this is about, right? And so that self-compassion around, okay, and it's funny because I can see this in my relationship with my husband too. I'm like, tell me how you feel. And then I'm like, that's stupid, you know, not literally, but kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, come into this space and let me like throw daggers at you, basically. So recognizing that, owning that, and doing the cleanup over and over and over again to really create a safe space, right? And I'm wondering for you, because then you've mentioned eating disorder is a part of your history.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, when you think about safe spaces for our kids, the safe space that you needed. This is kind of off the cuff, Nancy. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, please.
But I'm wondering for you, what did you need as you, you know, in your experience of being a teen and being a young adult who struggled in that way, what did you need around safety?
You know, I didn't have anyone at all. And that was another reason I wrote this book, you know, because maybe I'm remembering wrong. I don't remember everything. I mean, I'm sure there was people there that were like, hey, you want to talk or whatever, but there was never one person that stood out that even took the time to tell me that bulimia would damage my body, right? Or that there was other ways to cope with my grief. right? There was nobody there to explain that to me. My brother was a drug addict. Like, he was getting into drugs. So I'm trying to manage him. My dad's working nights. Like, I felt like so alone. And if it just one person had said, hey, just one conversation here, let me tell you what I know about your mom dying, or like this thing you're doing that is, you know, going to damage you later on, or things like that. Just holding that space for me would have just been so comforting. Mm-hmm. You know, instead I had people, you know, from church, and it's a whole other story, but like judging me and, you know, being racial profile, you know, all of these things, instead of just, all I needed was just somebody to know somebody really cared about me.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have made all the difference.
Seeing you and your struggle.
Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, it's going to be okay. Time will heal. No, it wasn't freaking okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, time will heal, but when you're 16 and you just lost your mother, like, you know, and there's no one else, your dad's like going through his own stuff. And I kind of talk about that in the book a little bit about like my story around that, but just let them know you care. Like, I am here for you. Like, if I don't know the answer, let's figure it out together. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in such an age where like that was the '90s, like internet was not a thing. Right. You know, and even if there is, it's like, Google is not a partner that can't comfort us, right?
Right.
You're going based on others' opinions. Just one person that says, I really care about you. Let's kind of figure this out together. I will help you, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Well, and even like, I see you struggling and I love you.
Yeah.
Even that opens a door. Even that opens a door. And I'm thinking again about these kids that kind of shut us out, and the dynamic that some of the parents that I work with are in. Like, how do I get them to even, you know, be willing? And I think, like, to listeners listening to Nancy's story and, you know, to what we talk about here on the pod, like, even just the babyest step can just be like, I see that you're struggling and I love you.
Yeah.
Right. And then pause and just be with that and let go of this idea that, okay, if I say that, then they'll be like, thanks, mom, and pour it all out. That's not necessarily the unfolding, but it is working on supporting a belief for our kiddos, like you needed, like you matter, right?
Yeah.
You matter to somebody.
Yeah.
And how that would have changed or influenced perhaps the outcome for you and how you were coping with that grief.
Yeah.
Mm. This is deep stuff, right? It's deep stuff. It's so good.
Yeah.
What else do you want to make sure that you leave listeners with today, Nancy, as we wrap up? What are your hopes for this book?
My hopes is that, again, you know, like I said, first of all, parents give themselves love and compassion. You know, we are so hard on ourselves. It's like that baby pops out and they have a little bag of guilt and they're like, here you go. You know, and they hand it off, I like to say, you know, and then forevermore, we're always feeling guilty for something. We're not doing something good enough. We're comparing ourselves to other parents. Like, give yourself love, compassion, and grace. Like, you're going to figure it out, you know? And I think Dr. Siegel says in his book, it's like, just be present with your kid. Like, when you bring presence to right now, to this moment, there's no room for judgments. There's no room for anger. There's no room for other things. Just curiosity and presence. If that's all you're going to remember from this podcast, like for your kid, that is going to make a world of difference.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go on another little ride with you. Like, I love that. Even as I listen to you say that, I want to make sure to point out, like, if you are sitting across from your kiddo and you're like, okay, I'm present, I'm in the room, and you're still spinning out in fear, you're not present.
Mm-mm.
Like, really get to the nitty gritty. Like, presence is, okay, I recognize that fear's in the room, but I'm not going to let it drive this ship. I'm really going to be here for my kiddo, bringing it back. I'm really going to stay curious. Leaving my fear, my assumption, you know, my opinion over there in the corner of the room. It can be, I see you, you're here. And I'm going to really be inside of the relation that's happening, the relating that's going on between my child and I. So that's really powerful. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah.
Yay. Yes.
Power of now, Eckhart Tolle.
Oh my God, power of now. Do you know that I got to hang out with him in Maui last fall? Well, I didn't really hang. I mean, me and like 600 other people. It was very intimate.
That's hanging out.
That's hanging out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I took that thread and ran with it because I think that there's a lot of talk about being present. And, you know, it's just like when they were little, and we encourage parents to create special time. And I remember all the stay-at-home moms in the room were like, fuck, special time? I'm home all day long with these kids. And it's like, well, yes. And how many minutes are you really dropped in and on the level and letting the space be really about the kiddo? And so, you know, it's...
Thank you for clarifying,
Yeah, you know, and I know you know that too.
Yeah.
But just for the listeners, right? Presence means... I'm thinking of a couple of clients of mine. When the kids get into mischief and we've got our own baggage, whether it's, you know, a mental health situation or a substance use situation or, you know, their sexual development, whatever, when we come at it and we have our own baggage, I love it when parents are like, oh, I know why it's so hard for me to be present with this because I have my own trauma around that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can recognize that and then you go find a therapist to support you in moving through it so that, again, you can come back and offer that presence for your child because your story is not your child's story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Woo, there's a little side road that we went down. Oh, Nancy, this is so great. So my final question, what does joyful courage mean to you?
So, you know, courage doesn't mean that you have everything figured out. It doesn't mean that you're not afraid, right? I think it's bringing those joyful moments when things are scary, like looking at those little pockets of joy, you know, and being courageous and moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what joyful courage means to me.
Yeah. Where can people find you and grab your book?
So my book's on Amazon.
Yay. It's been released.
Yeah, it's been released about a month ago.
Okay.
You can find my website. It's aoa.wtf. Yes, that is a handle.
AOA.
AOA stands for Art of Attraction. So aoa.wtf. And I have other things. I do teens. I do health. I work with, you know, personal development and all of these different things. But you can find, you know, if you sign up for my website, you kind of get a little gift. There's a parenting. And, you know, whatever questions you have, you know, whatever support I can give you. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending time with me, Nancy. It's so good to see you.
I know. I know. We live on opposites now.
I know. Opposite corners. Well, thank you for being here. Listeners, check the show notes for links on the things that Nancy shared, you know, resources that were mentioned. And yay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Thank you to my Sproutable partners, as well as Chris Mann and the team at Podshaper for all the support with getting this show out there and making it sound good. Check out our offers for parents with kids of all ages and sign up for our newsletter to stay connected at besproutable.com. Tune back in later this week for our Thursday show, and I'll be back with another interview next Monday. Peace.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.